And welcome to 10,000 minutes of mic levels being far too low. Our mic levels are low, low, low. They're crazy low. We're cutting mic levels across the board and passing the savings on to you. How do we do it? Lack of volume. There we go. Ah, that's much better. Now we're getting into the that sweet spot. That sweet and low spot. That artificial sweetener spot. Good evening, folks. This should be 10,000 minutes of Jake and Mr. Scholar, but Jake is currently camping. By camping, I don't mean he's sitting in a spawn point in Halo waiting for people to spawn so that he can kill them. I mean he's out in the woods with a tent and a hot stuff. Presumably both of them at this point are wishing that they could quit each other. But once again, and the reason why we had that announcement is that we have vaginal blood fart filling in for Jake this evening. You can call him Vag, you can call him VBF, you can call him Matt. But what you can't call him is on the radio with me right now, because he's not. He will be joining us directly. Until then, you've got me and me alone. So here's hoping I don't answer any questions that have been asked previously, and here's hoping I manage to answer a question or two correctly. Let's start with CloudStrife said, did the design team just watch RoboCop, Terminator, and WALL-E? No, the design team watched all of those movies repeatedly and had them ingrained in the fiber of their being, and were thus able to reference them in that zone. I wrote the Future Zone. I admit it. I will take the credit and also the blame. And, I don't know, it's mostly Fifth Element, and as soon as Vag gets on, he can tell me how Fifth Element is lame. And then we can all point at him, and we can laugh. Oh, how we'll laugh, Papa. Let's skip over. Let's go down. Thursday was the 11th. Let's get past the Thursday show, just so we don't duplicate any of those questions. Huh. AgriJag619 says, the Artemis Fowl guy is writing a new Hitchhiker's book. Craziness! Well, we have this consolation that even if it's bad, it will be better than mostly harmless. I can't say that legacy is going to get pissed on, because Douglas Adams, to be fair, it was his legacy to piss on, but mostly harmless totally took a giant piss on his own legend, so I can't imagine anybody else who actually has reverence for the source material coming in and doing a worse book than Mostly Harmless. By the way, that's my hookah. It contains tobacco, not marijuana, because marijuana would wreck it and you wouldn't get high off it anyway. Educate yourselves. I wonder, though, the the Congress just passed a bill that outlawed flavoring in tobacco, so I'm kind of wondering if that's going to be the end of the hookah smoking, because the only flavor allowed in tobacco pretty soon here is going to be menthol, which menthol got this weird exception somehow. But if that's the case, menthol shisha, gross. Kind of hoping that applies only to cigarettes, because I don't smoke them cigarettes no more. No, sir. Avanjin Q says, you linked a trophy to an item of the month. That's just wrong. I have to ask, why'd you do it? Well, because trophies are optional to gameplay. You can actually play the game all the way through and play the game very well without a trophy in your trophy case. Without a single trophy in your trophy case, you can have a leaderboard position. Now, if you are a trophy collector and that is what gets you invested in the game, then we just gave you a reason to get an item of the month that you haven't had before. This is assuming the trophy is linked to the item of the month, by the way. But here's the thing. I agree that we shouldn't ever make exclusive content for an item of the month. There should always be a tradable component. I agree that item of the month should always be Mr. Accessory should always be available in the mall so that you can get meat and do it. I don't agree that we have to dial back on the item of the month because it's not fair to people who can't get an item of the month, because everybody can. If you don't want to give us $10, if you just absolutely don't, if you don't like the game enough to pony up $10, then you can farm your meat and you can get enough meat and you can buy that Mr. Accessory. You can sell stuff, you can MMG, you can get your Mr. Accessory that way. If you say, but I don't have the time to do that, and I don't have $10, then I don't believe you. If you are 12 years old, and you don't have $10, go to the house next door and offer to mow their lawn for $10. And mow their lawn and collect your $10. There's just no way that if you want a Mr. Accessory, that you just can't get $10, ever. When I was 5 years old, I had toys that cost more than $10. You know, you can get the $10. $10 is not this obscene amount of money. If you don't have a PayPal account, you can send us a check. You can send us cash. You should probably cover it with something so nobody knows it's cash and steals it. If you send it before the item is out of the store and it gets there after the item has gone from the store, we will happily do a trade with you for the old item of the month. We do try our best. At times, I find myself hitting the wall with people who are just like, yeah, you're making it so that we have to have this item of the month to be any good at your game. I'm like, one, I don't believe that's true. And two, so what? It's $10. Pony up your $10. If you're that into the game, that you're worried about your performance in the game, maybe you should give us $10. Maybe. Let's see now. Does the giant pinky ring, says Kylak, prevent the black cat from doing stuff? I do not believe that it does. The black cat is all about screwing you over. Lurk says, you talking about food and drink on the radio made me think. There's a missed opportunity in that the adventures are always the most important gain. What if you could choose between food that gave lots of adventures and food which gives fewer but better stats or useful buff? More strategy and a way to differentiate food. We try to do that to some degree. And maybe we can do that a little bit more. And in the distance I can hear my son screaming his head off like he does every single Monday night. He only does it because he knows that it's Monday night, and for 2 hours his mother will be with him alone. It's roundly unfortunate. Let's see. Drekofly says, the adventure text for fighting the high priest suggests that I destroyed my cultist's robe. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. But its memory is still equipped. Bug or feature? I would go... I would lean towards bug on that, and I will report that. And you're the guy who just asked the teacher why she didn't assign any homework. Clan log question. We're fixing it. Man Egg says, so was Son of a Beach intended as it is to be pronounced Son of a Bitch? No. Why on earth would you think that? Yeesh. Nosh says, the plural of Tasty Louse is still Tasty Louses. This infuriates me! I demand that it be changed to Tasty Lice immediately. We don't negotiate with terrorists. Arkwild says, we have a naval ring, where's the cock ring? That's down south of the border where the roosters fight. They fight in the cock ring. If you've ever had roosters fighting in your cock ring, you know how unpleasant that is. Folks, I'm going to take a moment here and go make sure that my wife has not lost her mind, because that kid is making all kinds of noise. So let's just do a song or two. Maybe just one. Maybe a longish one. Let's just do that, and I will be with you directly. I apologize for the delay, but I think it's necessary.
Am I awake? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I awake? The coffee's cold, but I forget to drink it yet. Did I forget? My clothes are wet, I don't remember drinking it. When I get to this part, will the next one be the same? Will I be wondering if I'm awake? There's so much to close, I haven't went to bed. Something else besides my head is growing from my head. And when I close my eyes, it looks the same as when I open them again. Am I awake? What time is it? Is it that time again? Wasn't it already then? So does it have to be the time it was again? When I get through the day, can someone tell me how? And how much longer now am I someone tell me how, but how much longer now am I awake? When I get through this day, can someone tell me how, but how much longer now am I awake?
And we're back, and I think we can get good old Badge in here now. He's online. Baby has chilled out for the moment. Don't ever teeth. Let me tell you, if you don't already have teeth, just don't get any. There's just no future in it. Let's give him a call, see if he answers. Riveting. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Just gonna find my headset.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. You sound like you're talking into the embedded microphone in your laptop.
That's crazy!
And I know that because you also have a webcam embedded in your laptop.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the comedy stylings of vaginal blood fart. I always want to call him vaginal blood fart, though.
You guys used to on the shows.
Yeah. I think, did you have a store that was vaginal blood farts?
No, I believe the store has always been Blood Fart Boil Over.
I see. You're just trying to find ways to make that more repugnant, aren't you?
Well, you know.
I suggested to our listeners that they could call you Vag.
No one calls me Vag.
Hmm. I may, from now on. Yeah, Vag has this kind of interesting latent superpower where if he gives somebody a nickname, it sticks forever. So, like, what are your friends, like, Taffy and...
Oh, yeah, Taffy, Lumpy, Timmy Boo, Gutter, well, Scully, but that's not really to my credit.
No, you can't claim that one.
No, but yeah, most of my friends have, as they said in The Crow, jolly pirate nicknames.
Yeah, there's a reason why his wife's name is Greta when that's not her
name
at all.
Oh, yeah, right, that one, too.
The one that everybody present at your wedding was kind of surprised when you called her by her real name. Because apparently you have to do that for marriage vows, or you can just sneak right back out of them.
That was kind of my theory, at least. I never actually asked if I had to use the right name, but I didn't want to cause an awkward thing during the ceremony.
Turns out you're married to some chick named Greta.
Yeah, just like the next chick in line or whatever.
My name's Greta. Oh my god. We're married now? Let us fuck.
Yeah. Huh. I'm at a loss for my sexy headset microphone. Does that sound like shit?
No, you're sounding alright now.
Okay, maybe I'll just go with this until the music break and try to find that then, because I'm pretty sure that someone with either two or four legs and is beneath 4 years old has probably found it and run off with it.
One of those guys, yeah.
Yeah, either Pronto or Shart. So what's been going on? We haven't talked in ages.
I know. It's now we both are loath to leave our own homes.
That's true.
We're like, hey, guys, come over tonight and we'll hang out. And then you go, hey, come over tonight and we'll hang out.
Yeah, all my I used to hate entertaining, because it's like, people come over and they fuck up your shit, and you have to clean, and there's, like, bottles everywhere, and now I'm like, yeah, how about, we'll grill, man, just come on over here and then go away when I'm done with you.
Yeah, we'll buy some booze, we'll get you drunk and full, just leave, you know, come on and leave on my command.
Yes, pretty much. So, I don't know, is that parenting, does that do that? Is that having kids?
Yeah, something like that. You guys are still a little less mobile than we are. I'll grant you that. Because your kid can walk around and stuff. Ours, you just put him in a little cage.
Yeah, it used to be really easy to travel with the boy, because you can just set him somewhere and go about your business almost as normal.
And he's getting to where he can work his way out of the little chair that he sits in, which is bad when he's in the chair on top of something that's like a 3-foot drop.
Less nice.
Yeah, so you have to...
How old is... what's his face again?
give him a nickname, you know. This is why you do the nickname thing, though.
It is entirely
terrible
right.
With names.
I'll just say Oliver. Oscar, and I'm like, that's not right. That's Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Oliver.
Oliver, thank you. Yeah, that's not going to stick. I'll come up with something.
Yeah, 5 months old.
Oh, really? I was thinking older than that.
No.
So 5 months, that's actually a pretty impressive feat.
He just wears it well, you know. He's mature for 5 months.
True.
He's already dating
like
girls who are like
7-month old bitches.
That's exactly what I was going to say, only slightly less vulgar.
Nice. Oh, that's right, you listen to Kanye West, so they would have been dykes.
Right.
So.
Jesus. Captain Spam says, what does Scully think of the upcoming DJ Hero, effectively a rhythm game for mashup nerds? I think that I would probably play that at a party and go, oh, this looks really fun. And then I would realize that the only way to be good enough at it to enjoy playing it at parties and stuff is to practice it for hours and hours and hours, and then I would put it down and never touch it again.
Yeah, the 1UP guys talked about it after seeing it at like E3 or something and seemed not hugely interested, I guess.
Like, it's like Guitar Hero, only 10 times as complex
and shittier music.
Is it like my ideal version of Guitar Hero was one that, to be good at it, you only needed to be, like, skilled on knowing where the buttons were and able to push them and switch between them real quick.
Yeah.
But, once I found out that in order to be, like, good enough at Rock Band to play, say, at a con with a bunch of KOL people, I would have to practice it like it was a fucking instrument.
Right. And that makes you that guy that's like, I could be playing a real fucking guitar.
Yep. Well, like I said, you know, I don't want to be that jerk who says you could learn to play a real guitar in all that time you're wasting on that video game, but you could learn to play a real guitar.
But it depends upon your life's ambition, I guess. I mean, would you prefer to be a guy that really can, you know, play... I mean, theoretically, a working musician, if you want to actually get out and play and, you know, make any kind of money, you're going to be in a cover band in a bar, and you're going to make, like... $50 a night to split 5 ways.
Yeah, but we're not talking about
it. You can play covers in the comfort of your own living room and, you know, never have to get off the couch.
Like, I can sit by myself and play my guitar and learn songs, and then I can take my guitar and I can play those songs for other people. I can write songs and play them on the guitar.
But that's just because you hate everyone you know and therefore inflict your songs on these other people.
You've never heard my songs.
These other people care about the people they know.
You've never heard my... song.
No, I've honestly never heard a song.
Yeah, ask Jack. He'll tell you that my songs are terrible. But I can't imagine a con where, like, at the end of the party night, we're winding down, everybody's sitting around. And, like, the night that we were playing, like, Aeroplane Over the Sea, and Frontalot's bassist was on the accordion, and another dude was playing a guitar, and another dude, and I had my guitar, and that was an experience that's somewhat different from sitting around going clickety-clickety-click to, like, Highway Star or something.
Well, maybe the way you do it.
I don't know. I understand that, and it is fun. Like, I play a couple of times with my cousin who has the same level of involvement as I am, and that's cool. But once you get the guys who are like, let's do it on Super Hard Extreme, dude, because I've played through enough times that I've memorized the sequence of these ridiculous notes, and like,
I've played Guitar Hero like 3 times. I think I mentioned this before, and I'm just not that good at it, and it doesn't bother me to not be good at it.
Yeah.
And I have zero interest in spending like $150 to play Guitar Hero at my house. I don't know.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to, I don't know, like getting really good at a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
congratulations.
It's a very masturbatory skill. It's like juggling. Like, really, you're really just doing it for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're juggling things that are on fire, you know, like, spinning fire poise is something that you have to practice a lot and is not really a transferable skill. But at least that's going to amuse people around you, you know?
But for, like, 30 seconds. I mean, it's, you know, it's still, you kind of do it because you want to do it. I mean, I've seen a lot of fire poi being a Rennie, and, like, it's cool, you know? And knowing how much work goes into it, I maybe appreciate it a little bit more than some people, but overall, you're just like, you know, I've seen someone spinning fire poi now for a good 5 minutes. I'm kind of done for this year.
That was kind of funny. When we were on our honeymoon, there was a night that they had live entertainment, and the opening act was this guy who could balance things on his face. And so he had, like, a beach chair and an umbrella and a bicycle. He was, like, balancing shit on his face. And I thought that was awesome.
I learned to do some of that when I was working at Valley Fair just because I had free time.
Mm-hmm.
But so then, I could do, like, sledgehammers and ladders and stuff.
Yeah, and then that kind of stuff. Like, any, you know, did the thing where you climb up a ladder while it's not leaning against anything, and, you know, just, and that was impressive. We were, like, stunned by that, but then he was opening for a guy who was just, like, breathing fire and juggling fire, and we're like, huh. We've seen enough of this to know that that guy's actually not even that good at it.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. It sounds funny to be jaded by the guy that's putting combustible liquids in his cheeks.
Right.
And, like, not dying. Like, I feel bad every time. I'm like, that guy, yeah, he blows fire, but, you know.
But, like, people I know do that casually. You know, that's not something they spent their entire life working on.
Yeah, and I've done it once or twice, and, like, doing it is the coolest thing in the world. But after a point, watching it, it's just kind of, eh.
Yeah, unless there's a heavy metal band playing.
How many kinds of fireballs are there? Like, one.
Yeah, there's the big kind that comes out your mouth. And
yeah.
If somebody could do, like, you know, rings or something, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if it was the whole, like, Gandalf smoking thing.
Right.
Where you're making boats and shit, well, okay, gotcha. Like, I'll line up for that. But, you know, otherwise it's just, you know, various size fireballs.
I mean, I guess, like, playing the guitar is kind of a participatory thing where if a bunch of people are sitting around and you know some songs that everybody knows, you can all sit around and sing, and that's something I enjoy doing.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, I brought my fire poi, let's all sit around and wait.
Watch me do fire poi.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough sell.
But I suppose, like, the drum circle is somewhere in between.
Yeah, like, that's... The first day you show up, you're as good as 30% of the other people there.
It's like in the, like, participatory, masturbatory continuum, it's like a circle jerk, I guess.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Everyone involved is doing it for themselves.
Yeah, and yet, as a whole, you manage to not sound that bad, because when there's that many, it doesn't matter that bad. You know, like, one guy being a little off-tempo is kind of unnoticeable.
That just means they're feeling it, brah.
That's true, yeah.
No, wait, sorry, not Proud Boys, Hippie.
Thing, man. Yeah.
That was the thing about Glory every year, was the drum circle would start at dusk and continue well into, like, 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I would have told them where the bombs were. You know? I would have told them how I planned to knock the towers down. Waterboarding has nothing on 6 hours of a drum circle.
Yeah, it's truly like a half hour of kind of boogieing down and, you know, writhing in ecstasy with other sweaty folks is kind of okay. But after that, it's like, if you ain't actually drumming, it's you're sort of done.
Yeah, or on some kind of drug.
Well, yeah.
Not that we don't buy drugs. Become
right.
a rock star and
drugs,
then give you that
sex,
for free.
And office supplies should never be paid for.
Right.
That's a Henry Rollins adage.
I'm quoting Love Actually, you're quoting Henry Rollins. Yeah, you're totally the pitcher in our relationship.
I don't think that's new.
Some other dude says, why do we need an oxygen source in the sea if we can apparently breathe in space? Well, if you're wondering how you sleep or breathe, or other science facts, just repeat to yourself, it's just a game, I should really just relax.
True. Actually, has the hole in the sky been defined as being in space? Or is it just a hole in the sky and could technically still be within the atmosphere?
It's full of constellations.
Yeah.
You could argue that when the hole...
So is my daughter's ceiling, but it's not space.
You could argue that when the hole opened up, the atmosphere kind of invaded that particular pocket of space. And then somebody will write back with this big scientific thing about how come there's not these things that happen with atmosphere and space. And at some point, I don't know, you just got to go outside. Spend some fire point. You're thinking too hard.
If I could see atmosphere in space, that would be a cool concert.
You know, in space, nobody can hear you drop a beat, though.
True. Well, can you drop a beat in space, or do you just kind of...
It would just float away.
Yeah. We've released the beat. Just kind of swimming after it, gobbling it up like astronaut ice cream in those videos.
I know that the Beastie Boys didn't have trouble, because they were intergalactic and planetary. And they were known for letting
the
beat.
The worst band on the planet, pretty much.
It's always weird running into the like hatred of bands that you have.
I for some reason they just irk me. They get under my skin and just piss me off.
Huh. I will give credit to a hip hop outfit that can come up with long distance on the phone and I'm talking on the cellular. I said I was sorry. She said, "Yeah, the hell you were." Good lyric.
Huh.
Yeah. If my rhymes is soup, my beats is stock.
I don't know. I don't know. The more polished stuff is, like, the recent things are more listenable, although still not, like, my thing. But, like, the early stuff, like, Jesus, fuck, man. You ever heard Brass Monkey?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, I'm amazed they made it to a second album. That's the part that I think I always had the most trouble getting over, is listening to how shit they were after they stopped being a punk band and became, like, a hip-hop outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was unfucking listenable. And, like, they had fans then that allowed them to reach greater heights of stardom, and that's what I just cannot fathom.
Well, you know...
It must have been, like, a product of the time or something, I don't know.
Like, Sugar Hill Gang has that entire verse in... about, having dinner at your friend's house and the chicken is greasy and nasty. And they survived that.
Is that inherently bad?
It's terrible. It's like this 3-minute long verse describing this dinner that he has
with
his friend's house.
Oh, the whole verse is about dinner.
Yeah, in Hip Hop Array. Yeah.
Yeah, see, the only guy that can write a whole verse about dinner is Weird Al.
Yeah, then we're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying
to...
Do
we have a lot of questions, or did they get plenty of warning that there wouldn't be any actual knowledge on the show?
I gave them an hour warning.
Mm-hmm.
I am trying to... answer questions, and I don't know why, because then the second part of the show is just people going, by the way, you were wrong about this question, you were wrong about this question.
True.
At least
yeah. Oh, my internet has been fantastically Comcastic as of late.
Love
so
it.
I think I'm actually plugged into the landline that normally goes into my wife's computer, because we've not had wireless now on my laptop for a few days, and they came out today and fixed the modem thingy for her landline to work again. So I'm not listening to, like, 2 weeks worth of shows just because I've been unable to get online.
Huh.
So if there's any major goings-on, I'm fully unaware of them. So.
Noob says, hey, guys. He actually writes his entire question phonetically, which is a little annoying. It's like,
huh.
Would, Jew, be, up, posed, T, to a knight M that's witched MP for HP. What he means is, would you be opposed to an item that's switched MP for HP, or maybe any effect?
Wasn't that a big no-no because MP was so cheap? Or was it vice versa?
Now I think HP is easier to get than MP, even though MP is easy to get.
Oh.
So we don't want to do that because they're not equally balanced. You get a lot of items dropped that give you back HP, but not as many for MP.
Yeah.
Let's see, Slinky McMahon says, make Mohawk wig, give your avatar a Mohawk, or possibly some other item to give a Mohawk. You can turn in a custom avatar for him and say, I want just a normal stick guy with a Mohawk, and we'll make that happen for you.
You should just put a normal arm on the burly sidekick. Mm.
Well, I think we have the technology now that we could add a Mohawk to just about any... any graphic.
Yeah, but it's not about the technology. It's about the will to do the work.
If you want your avatar to be the misspelled crypt, the crypt with a Mohawk, we will make that happen for you.
Really?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh.
I will.
I was actually able to get my censored bar that I wanted so badly, and I was kind of surprised that flew.
The custom avatar forms are a bone of contention. Where I go, geez, guys, this can't possibly be that hard. Come on, do it. And they're like, shut the hell up. You have no idea how hard it is.
Do it yourself, fatty. Fine.
I suggested that Jess could do them, but they didn't want to do that either. So, yeah, I guess those things are still for sale. And people.
We were doing such a good job of keeping her both barefoot and pregnant. They probably didn't want to interrupt your flow.
Right. The, yeah, she's back at work now, and that...
Oh, that's right.
That sucks for everybody. I gotta, you know, I enjoy spending the day with the baby, but I would enjoy it more if it was half the day. And then I had half the day to actually work, and then she had half a day of work, and... So, yeah, hopefully we'll figure that out a little bit better.
Yeah, there's a delicate balance to be struck there that I think you probably finally hit when the kid's 18 and moves out.
Yeah,
Yes, now I see the kid the exact amount of time I want to. So, because Greta's been, what, off working overnights for like a month now? Is it really that long? Maybe not even that long. And, you know, it was like, woohoo, I can see the kids. And now it's like, how long until you come home? So, yeah, it's, you know, they're great, but damned if they aren't. They're, what's the word? Not exactly irritating. But the kids have, like, just the perfect pitch and voice or cry to be, like, the fingernails on blackboard. And then, of course, because they're, you know, 3 and 10 and have no perspective, have all the reasons that make you go, are you serious? This is what we're going to have an argument about. You know? And so, like, the combination of those two means that on the wrong day, like, 40 minutes and you're just done. It's like, and it's time to play outside. Shut door, lock.
See, and, I mean, this kid isn't particularly mobile, and he doesn't have a whole lot of needs. But it does seem like he knows when I'm ready to sit down and just put music on, zone out, and write. And that's when he's like, you know, I've been sitting here quietly for 20 minutes, and I'm just not going to sit here quietly anymore. I will only be quiet if I'm sitting on your lap and occasionally banging keys and occasionally trying to bang my head into the desk.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
it's
I was...
It's just funnier over time.
Yeah. Now, once we're sure that he's not going to kill himself, you know... Like a toddler can hit their head against shit and they're fine. But.
Yeah, jokes that I would not have found funny until having kids was like last week's Onion had one of those little sidebar blurbs was, you know, coffee table victorious over toddler, or edge of coffee table victorious over toddler. It's like, wow, those are basically natural enemies.
My facial scar is from a baseboard. I don't know how I did that. It was just like falling at an angle where I hit my cheekbone on a baseboard. And that just takes effort.
Wait, isn't a baseboard the part that's basically flush to the wall?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Except, you know, at the corner, it sticks out a little farther.
But you also can't get as close to it because it's in the corner.
No, the outside corner.
Oh, okay. That's a little, I was going to say, like, gravity, or doing it wrong. Like,
how did you do that? I don't know.
It's weird.
Engineering self skills.
Rotated 90 degrees in the air. And, I'm noticing my screwdriver made with the UV apple vodka is not as refreshing as the usual manly beer I would be drinking.
No. I've got me a Grain Belt Premium.
Always delightful.
That's a delicious beer. You know,
I just finished the last of my homebrew yesterday, and I have another 5 gallons fermenting that I have to put in bottles probably tomorrow.
Mm.
Which is like, hooray, it'll be in bottles tomorrow, which means 2 more weeks before you can drink it. So. Yeah.
See, homebrewing beer, there is a skill. If you're going to spend hours cultivating a skill, nobody, you know, maybe you show up at a party with a guitar, people are thrilled. Maybe you show up with some fire poi, people are impressed briefly. You show up with a case of beer that you made, you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I found that, you know, well, assuming I make a good beer that doesn't suck.
Right.
I mean, I've probably only done it like 20 times. I've had two that I just did not give to people. Because, if they suck, I'm just like, no, I'm not foisting these upon my friends. But I've only had like two that were that bad that I was just like, for me, I had one I actually just dumped out. And then one that was like, I'll drink this, but I'm not going to make anybody else do it. And so, you know, once people got over the trepidation of, oh, God, some other jerk off's homebrew. So. Usually they're welcomed now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of funny here that here in Minneapolis, Fat Tire just got here and is a big deal.
Like a year ago, yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird to have people go, hey, this bar has Fat Tire, and they would pay $10 for a beer because it was Fat Tire. And where in Arizona, Fat Tire is just kind of readily available because I think they brew it in Colorado. And it's just not that great as far as beers go. But here you guys have Surly, which is, oh, that's fantastic beer.
See, I have trouble with, I shouldn't say anything bad about them. They sponsored our Ville show, gave us a bunch of free beer.
Yeah.
I think the Cynic, out of the four they make, is the one that I'm like, okay, that's a damn fine beer. The rest are just too hoppy.
I like
the
Bender.
Not like a Hop Devil guy.
I like Surly Bender quite a bit. It's kind of Guinness-y.
Maybe Bender was the good one. I thought it was Cynic. No, maybe Cynic was the really hoppy one. I don't know, but it was like, they gave us, like, at the time that they sponsored our show was like 2-3 years ago, so there were only two.
Mm-hmm.
And like, one was the good one, one was the like, yeah, I can see why that would be good if you're into that style, but I'm just not. And so now I think there's like four, because we were at the last Ville show here, I think they had at least 3 on tap.
Mm.
So, but you know, again, like, I just, you know, we had to do like promo spots for them during the show. And I think the most, well, there were a couple that I thought were good. One of my favorites was Surly Beer, the only good thing to come out of Brooklyn Center. You know, cannot find fault with your logic, sir.
If you guys lived in Minneapolis, you'd be laughing right
now.
Yeah,
that's a funny fucking joke if you lived in the metro here.
And really, why don't you live in Minneapolis? Why would you live anywhere else?
Well, I guess there's other places that are kind of cool, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's this or Chicago.
We got real pissed at Minneapolis yesterday, though.
city?
Yeah, pretty much. We went to the lake, as we are wont to do, and we brought a little baby flotation device for the kid so that he could sit in the water with sunshade and we could hang out neck deep in water, and that'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And we were informed that no flotation devices of any kind are allowed out in the lake.
Not even to save your unborn child?
No.
Born child.
Born child. An unborn. And,
is that meme of old yet?
No, it's still the same. Okay. I still ask if it's good enough for our unborn child. And hopefully there isn't one. But, the lifeguard came out and said, no flotation devices at all, ever. And I said, well, why? And he said, it's a safety issue. A liability issue. And I said, so, safer that I have to be holding him the whole time we're in the water than to have him be in a flotation device. And I guess it's because people bring their, like, 2-year-olds to the beach, and if they have a little floaty thing, they just, like,
they're leaving the fuck alone.
Yeah, just like turtles, you know, abandoning their young on the beach. So, sure. I guess it's not so much the city's fault as it is bad parents' fault, but, William Howard Taft suggests that we should make the beer cartilage a combat usable item to knock out 6 ducks at once.
That's brilliant. At one point, a 6-pack of dead leprechauns was suggested, which I also liked.
You know, it's funny. We can make jokes about cutting frat boys in half with a sword, or hippies, or what have you. If we did that, people would be so pissed at us for, you know, you can kill ducks in the game. What the hell is that about?
Yeah. Yeah. How offensive do we want to get during this episode? The last one ended poorly.
Right. I was going to say I was tempted to do in the system announce, like, Vaginal Bloodfart has promised to not say anything offensive for as long as he can, and the 10-dozen-minute show will now be 5 minutes long.
Exactly. Oh, well, actually, I made a friend because of being offensive in the last show. So, yeah, Lady Arsenic and I were talking after the show, and, like, I was trying to explain myself more fully, and, like, that was cool. So, okay. I'm like, hey, someone that actually bothered to PM me and go, I think you're kind of a dick, but I want to make sure. So, that was cool.
It's like, now I'm sure you are.
Yeah, now I'm sure you're a dick, but, you know, you're not a total dick.
Right.
So.
Mai says, when wumpusing, sometimes the bats drop you into an insta-kill. Is that intended? It is intended. That's just the nature of, you know, we took an old game and dumped it into our game, and that's a feature of the old game, and so it's a feature of its iteration in our game as well.
I have no idea what you were talking about.
This month's item of the month.
Gotcha. Haven't got that yet.
Alright.
I get paid Friday, so that will probably be my first chance to play with it. Although this is the one that I'm supposed to hate because of the Fifth Element reference.
Right. There's an entire quest, really, that's centered around Fifth Element reference.
Is it about how you try really hard to convince your friends that it's actually a terrible movie and they just won't listen and it's just this nightmare of all your friends suddenly having shitty taste in movies?
Yeah, it's that this guy wakes up and he realizes that he's been wrong about this movie and he has to watch it again until he gets it right.
It's terrible. It's like Groundhog Day.
Right. No,
you should be able to masturbate this. Watch it again.
Watch it again. There's plenty of, you know, there's a Terminator reference, RoboCop, Wall-E. So there's all kinds of future stuff going on. It just centers around. Plus, hey, the weapon that you use in that zone is a ruby rod that's just annoying as shit, and then at the end it gets thrown into an interdimensional vortex, so you might at least enjoy that part. Have you actually seen that film?
What?
I think it would be really funny if you did stuff the way that Zach does, where he's like, God, this is a terrible TV show. I hate it. Like, have you ever seen an entire episode? No.
Are we still talking about the Fifth Element?
Yeah, but we're done now.
Oh, yeah. No, I have actually seen it, like, a couple times.
Okay, well, you're all right, then. We're talking about
tries to get all the way through it.
Ah.
And then I've had other people like, dude, we're going to watch movies. Like, bring Clerks or some shit. I'm like, all right. And then that was one of the other ones that was inevitably brought. So my solution to that was to move away from my hometown and never speak to those people again.
Uh-huh.
And so far it's working. I haven't seen the Fifth Element since then.
You are... that's cool. You know, you like what you
I'm
like.
I'm committed, fucker.
You are the cheese in this one, man. You stand alone. I mean, somebody who barely likes anything the way that Zach does and he likes it... I don't know.
Huh?
Zach likes the Fifth Element. Zach barely likes anything. So, that just indicates that you're wrong.
Well, weren't we saying that if you probably sat the three of us down, we'd basically have, like, a little, like, recycling triangle of hatred of each other's interests?
Yeah, I'm just, that thing sucks. What? You're nuts. And we can just kind of go around in a circle. I think I found the one that you and I like that he doesn't. Maybe not.
Wasn't it? What was it?
I don't know if we did.
Yeah, because I think initially it was like there were like three or four movies we threw out, and it was like there were always like a two-on-one situation, which I know Zach likes that, but I can't remember what the movie was.
You should see Hedwig and the Angry Inch and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it can
I
be
think it's in my Netflix queue, if I remember right. It's fun being one of those people that can now go, okay, I'll add that to my Netflix queue.
Right.
Instead of going, yeah, I'll totally watch that, and then just 4 years later, still having not seen it.
My Netflix queue has not moved. And, well, like, when we started the Netflix account, like, 2 years ago, we put, so like, 40 movies in there and said, we want to see these movies. And we got the first three discs, and we sat on them for 6 months and didn't watch them. We said, hey, we should catch up on Smallville. So we did Netflix all of Smallville, and then got the next.
You totally three. Know a guy who has all of Smallville.
Yeah. Then we got the next three movies on our list, and we didn't watch any of them, and eventually just returned the discs.
You suck, dude. So we've only had it for a couple months, so like it's all still new and pretty. But I think without fail, every movie's been returned the next day. So we've gone through, I don't know, 12 or 13 movies in the last 6-7 weeks.
Hmm.
But we're used to watching one entire, you know, film or multiple episodes of a TV show every single night of the week.
Yeah.
So at this point, we're doing, you know, a new movie every other day as they show up, and then episodes of Heroes on the off nights when we don't have a new movie.
I'm still, I'm holding back on Heroes. I'm still not sure.
The first season, I'm maybe two-thirds, maybe three-quarters of the way through, and it is good as shit.
Hmm.
Like, it is astoundingly good. And then I saw that one of the producers is Jeff Loeb.
Yeah.
Who, you know, fucking astounding comics writer. I'm like, okay, because it smacks of so much of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The episode we watched last night, Stan Lee has a cameo as a bus driver. And I was like, thank you, because you guys are completely just doing early 60s Marvel. Like, it's nice of you to give the old bastard yet another cameo credit on IMDb.
I just wonder, after he dies, when they put out Marvel movies, are they just going to have, like, a funeral scene in every movie, or...
No, you just do the whole, you know, Brandon Lee and the Crow, where you just put his face on something.
Right.
Or just, you know, recut him from the other movies. Honestly, I could watch him stand by a hot dog cart in four other movies. It doesn't just have to be the first X-Men. That's fine, you know. Put it right a beach scene. Why? We gotta show Stan Lee. Oh. Alright.
Or just make him do the Orville Redenbacher thing and make a hideous undead automaton of him in the computer.
Did they really do that?
Yeah, for a while, all of the Orville Redenbacher popcorn ads featured this bizarre computer-generated, dead-eyed, zombie Orville Redenbacher.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it really was.
Is he a guy that was just like, man, you look like a guy that eats a lot of popcorn? Like, he was just so believable, even though he looked like he was still wearing clothes that were originally made in the 20s. Like, there was a sincerity about that guy that was just like, wow, like, you really... I honestly am taking popcorn more seriously after seeing how much you love it. Like, I don't know. It'd be very sad. It's kind of like when they started animating the Colonel.
Yeah.
Like, something is lost in that particular translation. Although, by all accounts, that guy was crazy.
I don't know much about Colonel Sanders.
Apparently just, like, absolute psychotic perfectionist.
Huh.
And when he first started doing, like, the idea of Kentucky Fried Chicken, like, he had his crazy recipe and all that bullshit. And invited the investors over for dinner at, like, 6, I forget, like, the exact times, like, 6 or 7 at night. Dinner was served at, like, 11:30. Because if it wasn't absolutely perfect the way he wanted it to turn out, he threw it out and started over. And so, until he got the exact meal he wanted, like, he made him just sit around the table for, like, hours. But, you know, like, the quality, at least at the time, was what they wanted. He had his own special, like, ovens and shit. But he would drive around all the franchises and, like, see what you were doing. And if you fucked up, he would get pissed off and, like, boot you out right there.
And now, yeah.
Now it's Kentucky Grilled Chicken.
The secret recipe for Kentucky Fried Chicken now is salt, pepper, and MSG.
I have no problem with any of those.
Yeah, but like scientists took the thing and were like, what are these 7 herbs and spices? Like, well, we count salt, pepper, and MSG.
Yeah.
And the other 4 are...
Nothing special except for this mild dose of acid.
Terrible says, I want to know what you thought about the time travel aspect of Star Trek. I think the black hole pushes it, even by Trek standards. Where did the explosion go if they went back? I think that I don't watch Star Trek for hard science fiction.
No.
I don't think I watch anything for hard science fiction.
No, I've watched science... Never mind. Anyway. Honestly, like, anything involving time travel falls apart if you think about it too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, because no one can really agree on what the fuck would really happen if you travel through time, I mean, just even if they pull it off flawlessly according to one theory, it's full of holes if you subscribe to other theory of time travel, so...
Yeah. And anything
you
that,
really can't win.
Anything that makes it harder for me to enjoy Back to the Future, that shit's just wrong.
Exactly, you know.
You're thinking too hard. Just let it go. If you, you know, there
are... some internal consistency, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. There are movies out there if you're really into all of the technical stuff being right, like 2001.
I still haven't seen that.
It's, yeah.
At first, not exactly exciting.
with the ability to fast forward, I think it would be good, because there's like a half an hour, it seems like. It's probably like 10 minutes in the middle, where it's just he's traveling through time and space, and it's just like a dude fucking with an oscilloscope for 10 minutes, because that's what the special effects were. It was supposed to blow your mind, man. But it's insanely boring. The rest of it's really cool.
I don't know. I guess the book is supposed to be a whole other level of interesting. So I'm kind of deciding if I should read that or if I should watch the movie. Because I'm sure if I, you know, just watch the movie, I'll be able to appreciate it on its own terms. But if I read the book first and then watch the movie, I may hate the movie. Because it's not the same thing.
Right.
So
I guess...
Oh, go ahead.
Long ago, I checked out the book on tape of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm just going to listen to this every night before bed. I was still in high school or something. And
idealistic.
Yeah, so I never got past the first 20 minutes. It's such a powerful sleep drug that, you know, not even listening to Pink Floyd put me to sleep as fast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never been big on the whole book on tape thing. Although I did get Moby Dick from LibriVox, which is like a free, like any books that are in public domain, you can sign up to just do a reading of it and upload it, and they kind of QC it, and if it's good, you can just download them for free. So it's all got to be public domain. But, you know, I got a 24-hour long recording of Moby Dick, just kind of split up by chapter.
Huh.
And the guy that read it was really fucking good, and I had been reading the actual book, and I was like 200-300 pages in at the start of fireworks season, at which point I'm not going to touch a book for 3 months. And so I was like, well, fuck, this is really good. And so I downloaded that and was able to just listen to, you know, 4 or 5 hour chunks of it at a time while on the road to the warehouse or whatever. And, you know, it was really quite rad. I'm glad I started reading just the regular book before that, just because it's, you know, to me there's something tactile about reading a book that's important.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a completely free recording, like, sweet, you know. And, like, I was able to get through the book and continue going from where I was rather than having to go, oh, fuck, now I'm going to pick it up in 4 months and have to start over. I was actually really surprised at how good Moby Dick is.
Huh.
You know, it's one of those ones, like, I go to, you know, Barnes & Noble and they have, like, the really cheap paperbacks of, like, classic novels.
Yeah.
And I tend to go in and pick up, you know, whatever the latest graphic novel is, I'm buying some other random bullshit that sounds interesting, you know, the latest Richard Dawkins book or something by Clive Barker or whatever. And then I go hit that table and go, okay, I'm going to pick up, like, Frankenstein this time or,
yeah,
you know, some whatever. And, you know, read those. And for the most part, I'm like, damn, like, a lot of these classic books are actually as advertised.
Frankenstein and Dracula both I've started a good 4 or 5 times a piece on each of those and just couldn't make it through.
See, I found Dracula just completely enthralling.
Hmm.
That one I fell in as soon as I started reading it. Frankenstein, I don't even think I've finished, and I tried multiple times. It's just so overwrought, and ugh.
Yeah, I think it's
also read Jekyll and Hyde. That one was okay, but, you know, just by today's standards, it's just not that crazy.
Yeah.
So that was a little tough. That definitely lost something. Dracula still keeps a good sense of dread and foreboding. I wanted to pick up Metamorphosis, but every time I go back to grab that one, they don't have it on the stupid shelf, because I'm kind of curious to see what my impression of that is. But
that one's good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
I was forced to read it in school.
And that's, yeah, I'm glad I didn't have to read any of those books, like, in high school or some shit, because I'm sure that would have tainted my perception of it now.
Tainted.
Just for you, baby.
It bugs me that you can't say that something was tainted or has a taint of evil without people giggling. But,
true.
You know, language evolves. What can you do? Linguini Lad says, I can't find the joke about the carpenter with a wooden eyeball, so tell me. I've never heard a joke about a carpenter with a wooden eyeball.
I've heard about, like, I'm no dictionary of jokes, but what?
I've heard that this is the one, like, there's a kid whose dad is a carpenter and makes the kid a wooden eye when he loses his eye in an accident, so he's got one eye made out of wood, and nobody really wants to hang out with him, so he's kind of the outcast kid. And he's at the school dance, kind of hanging out in the corner, and nobody will talk to him. And he looks across the room, and he sees a girl who's got a cleft lip. He's like, well, you know, maybe the girl with the cleft lip is, you know, in my league. Maybe I can do this. So she goes over, and he goes over, and she's standing there by herself. And he goes, well, would you like to dance? And she goes, would I? Would I? And he goes, cleft lip, cleft lip.
Okay, I guess I have heard a variant of that. Hmm. I was thinking, I've got, like, false eye jokes, but they all involve prostitutes that can sing the Star Spangled Banner while giving you a blowjob.
Right.
So, I don't know. That's a little different than a carpenter, I guess. I mean, they both work with wood, but...
That is another fine joke, and it's one that... it's one that doesn't... It didn't set off my flag for I shouldn't tell that joke in mixed company, and I had to stop myself halfway through. It's so funny, and yeah.
Yeah, the latest joke I've gotten, my friend Frost is the guy I get a lot of jokes from lately, because he's one of those dudes that, you know, the old style, like, getting together and having a scotch with people, and the guys just told jokes?
Yeah.
Because, you know, guys don't talk about things, that's not right. So they would just kind of tell jokes. And, like, the same way, like, we talk about movies or music instead of having actual conversations. You know, you go for a round of golf and with, like, four guys, and by the end of it, you know, your wife asks, what did you talk about? And you're like, nothing. And you didn't. You honestly didn't talk about anything. You just quoted movies and The Simpsons and laughed about shit and told jokes. And so Frost is one of those old school guys who just always has a new joke whenever you see him. So the one for this week that he told at the Dregs show the other night was... Guy walks into the bedroom, his wife's in the bed, and he's got a sheep under his arm. He storms in and plants his feet at the edge of the bed and goes, honey, this is the cow I fuck when you're on the rag. And his wife goes, if you weren't such a fucking idiot, you'd know that was a sheep. He goes, if you weren't such a presumptuous bitch, you'd know I was talking to the sheep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Humor and pain.
Analyzing 2001 in radio.
Yeah, we're also somebody saying that 10-minute blow your mind bit is at the end, not in the middle. But yeah, the wormhole scene is way too long. In the book, he actually sees neat astrophysical anomalies. I would love
to
get
like Contact, where it worked better in the book than it did in the movie.
I enjoyed that movie. I gotta say,
the movie was okay, but I really liked the book.
I just wonder if... So, apparently there's a point in 2001, the book, where something interesting happens. So, maybe I'll have to check that out again. And apparently there's a point in Dracula where something interesting happens. Instead of, like, my dearest, I left Budapest, and now I'm sailing to Transylvania, and now I'm getting off a boat, and I'm writing you this letter.
Yeah.
And
the... Yeah, the, what would you call it? I don't know. The narrative conceit of, like, okay, this is all going to be pieced together by their reading each other's letters when they have them all together at once, like, this horrific tale unfolds. Except that happens at about three-quarters of the way through the book, that they piece all these various disparate letters that you're reading. Like, everyone that's writing letters is together and reads them all in order and figure out, holy shit, this guy's a vampire.
Right.
And then... Because they don't want to suddenly just shift gears and have it be like a, you know, first-person narrative or something, they agree to continue to write, like, a diary at the end of each day.
Uh-huh.
And give them to whatever her face is to kind of, like, type up and collate at the end of each day.
Right.
So that it can continue to be written in the same thing as though they're all writing letters, even though they're all staying at the same fucking place.
Yeah.
So rather than them all talk to each other when they're in the same room, they're writing letters to each other.
And
is a little odd, but...
That format can work. I don't know how well it works for horror. Somebody recently did a project, though, where they did the entire novel in real time. So, like, using the dates that are on the letters and everything, like, posted it on a web page as a back-and-forth exchange, and maybe that would be
interesting. I think I heard about that.
Maybe it's just that the events in that novel have been so thoroughly filmed it's hard to sit there and wait for the big reveal, because you already know what's going on.
Yeah, I watched Nosferatu a few months back, which was interesting, because, it was very much just Dracula, instead of calling him Dracula, they call him Count Orlok, because the Stokers wouldn't give him the rights. And quite rightfully sued after the movie came out saying, fuck you, this is just Dracula, but you changed his name from Dracula. So, Yeah, it was, I don't know, it's interesting. Like, even going back that far, it's like, yeah, they pretty much nailed it, even on that very first try. Like, and yeah, we had the Keanu Reeves version.
I enjoyed the hell out of the Keanu Reeves version, though.
It was alright.
Everything but Keanu Reeves, really. Like, the fact that he used all those interesting old visual effects and kind of did everything in camera, and I don't know. I thought it was super interesting, and Gary Oldman's just awesome.
This is true, you know. Well, I also like the Tom Waits as Renfield.
Yeah, and you can balance out Keanu if you put a Gary Oldman in there with him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had read Dracula before watching the movie version, or at least the current one, and so therefore I think I was enjoyed it more and was more forgiving.
That was the first movie that I couldn't, that I encountered the underage R rating thing. I had to sneak in with, like, one of my friend's moms came and let us into the theater. And then we were like, oh my god, boobs on a screen that's like 20 feet tall.
This boob is the size of the minivan I rode in to get here.
My pants are getting tighter. That was a good movie to see as a teenager.
I can see how that would be good.
So you always want to have an erection in the middle of a crowded theater.
Really?
Well, I do. Petaros says, how much more time would you put into KOL if you never had to mow your lawn again? I probably wouldn't put any more time into KOL if I never
had to mow lawns is not a huge chore.
Yeah, it takes like an hour. An hour a month.
Your lawn is not that much bigger than mine. How does yours take an hour?
In the back and the front.
Huh.
The back and the front and the little landing strip out front.
Yeah, I can't wait until my kids bitch about mowing the lawn. Because our backyard is maybe 40 feet by 70 feet or something like that. Not that huge. I mean, for the city, not bad. But not that huge. My parents have 2.5 acres.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you had to mow it all. And it was 2.5 hours with a riding lawnmower. So I just cannot wait. Like, but Dad, I'm like, haha, uphill both ways, fucker.
And I hated mowing our lawn, and our lawn was like at 10 by 20 growing up.
See, I liked it growing up, because you got like a couple hours, just kind of kicking on the lawnmower. I'd bring my like CD player and just fucking have headphones on. It was all good. I got left the fuck alone for a couple hours.
But, I didn't. Yeah. I've only enjoyed it now that it's my lawn. And I can, you know, this is also making my house not look like shit from the road. I got a notice from the city, though, because apparently there were some weeds that are over 8 inches tall around the periphery of my property, and that's a violation. So, like, I went out on my back porch, and I looked around the neighborhood, and fucking if 20 people didn't get that same thing, I'm real pissed.
Yeah, we get the shoveling ones all the time in the winter. Because, like, apparently everyone else is just fully bought into the theory that a quarter inch of snow, you know, where it's when you walk, wherever your footprint is, there's now no snow.
Yeah, you should have
that kind of dusting. And, like, okay, when that happens, I don't fucking shovel. But it is snowfall, and so, like, all of our neighbors and everyone else go out and they shovel that shit. And they fucking, you know, this is, like, clear sidewalk, bare, sparse dusting of white for, you know, 30 feet. Because that's in front of our house, and then bare side. And so we keep getting that you have to shovel after every snowfall. I'm like, fuck you, that's not a snowfall.
Yeah.
Like, no. If you slip and die on that, one, you deserve it. And two, I will probably just shovel you into the curb next to the house by mine. So yeah, we get those like once a week. You need to shovel. I'm like, no, I don't. If it's less than an inch or two, you don't need to shovel. Fucking mailman will get here. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Somebody asked if I'm going to Convergence. The MST3K people are being there. MST3K people are being there, Paul. I'm going to try and go to Convergence this year.
You would probably really, really like it.
It's tricky to figure out what the hell is the deal with it. Like, it's hard to figure out what the programming is and when it is.
Yeah, you probably should get on it soon, though, because it's going to fill up quick. There's also a special Convergence Filification Tennis main stage performance this year.
Oh, that's excellent.
So apparently we're the second most attended event following the opening ceremonies. They're ahead of the opening ceremonies are ahead of Ville 10 by like 30 people. And they don't really think they'll be able to close that gap, because if you're going to Ville, you're probably also going to the opening ceremonies.
Right.
So we're going to be debuting our DVDs that will be for sale.
Oh, nice.
At Convergence. So I've now got, currently in my house, I have 600 DVD cases and 600 DVDs.
So you're saying we should all...
We're hoping to get rich.
So what you're saying is that we should come over to your house, and we can all sit and watch The Fifth Element and put DVDs in DVD cases.
Yeah, actually, we're probably doing that tomorrow. So, actually, well, we have a marketing meeting tomorrow, and Tim was like, bring the cases, we'll stuff DVD cases. I'm like, sweet, someone besides me will do this work. But quite likely it'll be an ongoing project, so.
Yeah, we
we're going to do four different shows, so I'm going to try to burn like 100 of each by, I don't know, July something. Whenever Convergence is, 4th, 5th, 3rd.
Is it $50 for the entire 4 or 6 days, or $50 per day?
I honestly don't know. I've never been. I this year they have PZ Myers there, too, which is right the fuck up my alley. But I don't care enough about geeky things. Not that there's anything wrong with geeky things. I like a lot of geeky things. I just don't need to go talk to a lot of other... As I'm on a radio show, I don't need to like go to a convention to hang out and talk about those geeky things, I guess, you know?
So,
I don't know. I've never been.
I'd be interested to go and see, like, the MST3K guys do their panel.
Yeah.
Like, I met Joel and Bill Corbin. Like... the three guys who went on to do Riff Tracks, but
right.
I haven't actually met, like, Trace and Joel and Mary Jo Peel and TV's Frank. So, yeah, I could geek out with that.
No, they'd be cool, yeah. My my friend J-Bone used to work on MST3K when we were in high school. That was his independent study.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I forget what seasons it was. He did it for a few years or something, and so, like, whenever you'd have to have, like, gratuitous, like, you know, furry monster arm from off screen, like, that would be him. Like, he said, yeah, it was basically like they'd all sit around and, like, watch this movie on this big screen TV in this shitty fucking place and then get bored with it, so they'd all, like, switch the big screen TV to, like, Super Nintendo, whatever was the current one at the time, and just fuck around and play instruments and get drunk or whatnot, and then kind of go back to it, and eventually, like, oh, fuck, we gotta record this shit. And then the whole thing would come together in the last day or two.
Which is probably why it's so very delightful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of stuff's done like that, which is quite cool.
Yeah, I wish that I would have figured out how to get to this thing last year, because somebody did an MST3K KOL panel last year.
Yeah, I was no help then either.
And I couldn't figure out. I think it was at midnight, though.
Yeah, stuff goes all fucking night. And they do, a lot of themed rooms with parties and stuff in them that go all night long. There's, like, designated party rooms. So if you want to have a hotel room where you can sleep, you can kind of know, okay, these are where the party rooms are, so go on the opposite side of the hotel.
Right.
So that it won't be as loud. But, yeah, I mean, you can literally just not sleep for 4 days and always have something going on if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cinema Rex is supposed to be pretty rad. They, you know, do a selection of movies that they screen in, like, an auditorium or something for people. And kind of develop a theme, I think, each year, and they're supposed to be pretty rad. So, yeah, lots of cool shit. It's just, I don't know. I was talking to Tim, the guy that does Ville, is the same guy that runs Convergence, or at least started it with his wife. And he's like, I was like, oh, you fucker, you have PZ Myers there this year. And he's like, you can come. I'm like, or I could stay home and drink beer. So, he's like, well, fair enough. But, yeah, I just never quite had the tipping point to go.
So
I think I'm just too antisocial.
I'm social, but I'm a little bit spoiled by the San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah, that's a con I'd go to.
Like, if you
actually, KOL Con is the only con I've ever gone to. Except for, well, I went to Omega Con for a couple of years, but that's like a relaxing con. They don't actually have, like, panels or any guests or anything. It's just a bunch of people that go to Convergence and other cons all year long that wanted a chance to hang out and bullshit with each other when there wasn't shit pulling them apart.
Right.
So they do one in the fall, and they basically rent out an entire hotel, like, just over the Wisconsin border and north a couple hours from us. And you show up, you're there for, like, 3 days, you just put on, like, some nice flannel pajamas and slippers, and you never actually get fully dressed, and you just wander around playing board games, video games, watching old classic cartoons on the big screen TV and hot tubbing.
That was kind of what I hoped Gen Con would be.
Mm.
And then just the crushing disappointment.
Yeah, so you probably love the shit out of OmegaCon, and probably Convergence for that matter, but...
Like, Gen Con is... It's like the second biggest after Comic-Con, and it's like big and official and expensive to get in and to present, and it just...
Is what you're saying that was one that like had the guidebook that was like every fucking instance of Magic the Gathering listed?
Yeah, as an individual thing, and then you had
yeah.
to... Yeah, then every, like, how to sign up to play in games didn't make much sense, and you had to buy little tokens to join in playing games with people, and... Yeah, what I found fun about Gen Con was sitting in a, like, a room that looked like a high school cafeteria and playing Arkham Horror with the people that we came with.
Yeah.
We could have done that anywhere.
X number of miles for this.
Yeah. Just weird looking at these panels, like, what they... I don't know, like, if you go to a Neil Gaiman panel at Comic-Con, Neil Gaiman's there. Right? And I don't mean to sound like a dick, but it's just weird. Like, what do you talk about when it's just, like, fans of Doctor Who running a Doctor Who panel? You know, how does that work? Confuses me. Frightens me. I don't know.
I'm a man on the edge. I don't know what comes next.
Let's go ahead and take a music break. We'll see if my wife has survived being alone with a child. I was telling people before you came on that he can tell... Every Monday night, as soon as I go in this room and start radio stuff, he just starts howling, just screams the entire time. He doesn't do it this time of night, any other day of the week.
Nice.
So, yeah. Well, we'll go check on it. We'll be back in about 13 minutes.
I never been. like a mountain.
Yeah.
fade that out.
What?
I had a good reason for playing that song.
I doubt that very much.
No, it's because I've been listening to and watching the literal video of Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Those are great.
Yeah, have you seen the Total Eclipse of the Heart one?
I haven't seen that one. I've seen a couple of the other ones.
It's brilliant because that is one of the strangest videos ever filmed.
Neat.
So there's plenty of weird shit. My favorite line is still, you shouldn't fence at night because you're going to hurt the gymnasts.
Cool.
Also, what the effing crap, that angel guy just felt me up.
Sweet.
It's beautiful. Seek it out right after the show, but the only version I had of it was the techno cover, so there you go.
Oh, Salsa's Mac, inside, by the way.
Oh, hey, Salsa.
He's not here now or anything. He was over a couple nights ago, and I forget what it was we were talking. Oh, we were reviewing a couple of Ville shows, because we watch them like football tapes, you know, where you're like, okay, how can I, you know, blah, 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 better. And he's like, wow, that was a really good joke. I'm like, I didn't write that joke. Scully did. And he's like, I shouldn't be surprised. So.
Huh. So somebody mentioned Dracula 3000 as a vampire movie. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I being a horror movie buff, you know, given enough free time and or money, I'll watch damn near anything. And so the monthly FearNet on-demand free horror movies, I tend to watch whatever the new ones are each month over the course of the month. Or, like, you know, with Netflix now, like, oh, so bad.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was, no, it's uniformly shitty, Dracula 3000. But, you know, whatever.
We watched I Want to Drag Me to Hell last week.
I haven't seen that yet. That was one, like, I've got to see it in the theater, and I need to do that quickly.
It was good. It was nifty. I went on a man date with Adam Dunn and saw it.
Was it romantic?
It was. We had the I'm Not a Homo seat in the middle.
See,
normally I don't enforce that I'm not a homo seat because I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was, like, when me and my buddy Charlie went to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Was that Charlie that I met in Vegas?
Yeah. There were zero heterosexual couples in there.
True.
And yet we still sat next to each other. Like, well, you know, if somebody looks over and goes, what a cute gay couple, thanks for the compliment. But
thanks for thinking I'm cute.
He's the only one of us that's gay. But, but Adam insisted he's still got that kind of jock mentality a little bit. But yeah, good, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That made me think, though, of a movie that scarred me as a kid that I can't find anything about it now, and the internet searches are kind of fruitless, but it was a vampire movie.
Living Wikipedia here, so.
It was a vampire movie where instead of them having fangs, like, the skin of their tongue would pull back, and this little white insect-looking thing would come out and bite the other person in the mouth while they were kissing. And so, you know, being a vampire just meant you had one of these parasites living in your tongue.
That sounds halfway familiar. And, like, it was something I would have seen as a kid.
Yeah, and apparently the vampires in Blade 3 had something similar, and that's really screwing up
their whole, like, lower jaw results. Unhinged. Yeah.
Which I still remember, that little, like, white insect thing crawling out of a dude's tongue. And
I'm sure I'll find it eventually. Oh, you know what else you should check out? I don't know if it's on June. It was the last couple months it's been on that free FearNet horror movies on your on-demand, but check out Dance of the Dead, which is, like, you know, the average teen, you know, coming-of-age prom movie, except with zombies.
Huh.
And it is really quite funny.
There was a Masters of Horror Dance of the Dead, but that's probably something different.
That's something else, yeah. Because this was one that was like a full feature, not a not like a hour-long Showtime show or whatever. But yeah, I caught that one, and oh my god, it was great. Like, there's like the shitty garage band that discovers that they play music, it, like, comforts the zombies and they stop attacking and are stuck in their garage for like 6.5 hours playing music. Like, yeah, cool shit.
I wonder if it would be okay for me to watch horror movies while I'm feeding the child.
My son now recognizes Chucky on Best Buy shelves.
But, like,
Chucky, and I'm like, oh shit.
I'm aware of the fact that I'm aware of the fact that he's an infant, And, you know, at the same time, maybe he wouldn't remember anything. Like, I don't like him looking at TV screens anyway.
Well, there's that, yeah.
But, yeah, so I feed him with his back to the computer, but I'm always watching something. Most recently, BitTorrented, DVDs
copy.
Of Terry Pratchett stuff.
All right. Yeah, I pretty much let the kids watch whatever I'm watching. And Austin's too small to really get upset for anything, and Coda decides for herself if she wants to see it or not. So
that's my model parent Charlie says that it's not the input, it's the processor.
Yeah.
So if your kid has their head on screwed on straight, then you don't really have to worry about what they ingest.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my thing. Is like I'm always sitting there willing to put it into context for them.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple exceptions. I picked up, like, a season of the Boondocks on DVD. And after a couple episodes, I was like, I'm not going to watch this with Coda in the room, because trying to explain why it's funny when people say nigger in this context, but it's horribly wrong in every other context is a little bit over her head.
Mm.
And so I was just like, yeah, let's not start that conversation. Because, like, haha, we're laughing at this particular stereotype because it's funny to laugh at stereotypes. But yeah, it's like that. Okay, that's just more explaining than I'm willing to do. So maybe the processor can sometimes be lazy.
Well, that's a pretty complex idea. Like, here is a black guy making fun of some of the things that some members of his race do.
Yeah, or just the stereotypes that other people have made of his race. That if he does the same one to the nth degree, makes fun of the stereotyper. And it's like, there are four or five layers of what's going on there to make that funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, yeah, wow. And, it's like, she'll sit and watch anything with me, and she just doesn't get it, She always watching South Park, she just only laughs at the fart jokes, because that's the level she gets it at,
Right.
So, I don't know. Parenting is neat.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes when the kid can actually process input and output.
Speaking of input, got the kids watching Short Circuit a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. Coda fucking loves it. I was like, oh, yeah.
I don't remember Short Circuit as much as I remember Short Circuit 2, though.
And see, I couldn't remember either of them that well. I do think I remember more of Part 2, because Part 1 is really just cut and dry over.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, it's bizarre, because it's very obviously like a, if not a kid movie, like a family movie. Like something you could take a family to, but you don't see movies like that maybe more where the guys are like, bullshit, god damn it, all the time. Like at this point, if kids are meant to be in the audience at all, there is no swearing, there's no adult themes.
Yeah, it's like an 80s family movie, like Bad News Bears or E.T.
Yeah, or like you could still be like a little over the top, and as you walk out of the theater, you go, yeah, if you say shit, I'll smack you.
Right.
And like that was good enough. And like it was refreshing to watch a movie that like my daughter loved for all the reasons she loved WALL-E, because it's basically the same fucking movie. And but didn't insult her intelligence. Mm-hmm. Not that WALL-E was insulting to intelligence, but just like all the other crappy preteen movies she watches. Right.
Up is ridiculously good.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm sure that one I'm not going to see until DVD. It's we go out to a theater once every 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, see, this is why
I'm going to blow a wad on Drag Me to Hell for that one.
This is why I've got the one child per capita rule, I think. Because it's pretty easy, especially now. We could hit up a 10 o'clock show and the baby will be asleep, and so somebody will come over and watch the kid sleep for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Of course, every time we do that, we're like, well, he sleeps until, 6:30 or 7 in the morning, so we'll get plenty of sleep. That's the night that he wakes up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just because he knows. He's kind of a dick. I love him. I love him to death, but part of realizing that he's not, like, a perfect angel, platonic ideal thing, he's an actual person who can sometimes be a dick.
Oh, dude, they know what they're doing.
That was kind of liberating, though, because, like, what kind of monster am I that I'm... Right now I'm annoyed with this perfect thing. You're like, he's just a guy,
Yeah, you're a realistic monster. Because, that's totally the case. Is that... Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Let's see, we got,
Someday you were able to override my hardcore status.
Yeah, I'll override you hardcore anytime you like.
Neat. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. We did. There was a brief tirade on my part at the beginning of the show, because there's a trophy that you can get from the item of the month, and somebody was complaining about that, and I was talking about, you know, if you're into the game enough that you're collecting trophies, you're probably into it enough to farm that meat, or, you know, like, don't tell me you don't have $10 because you're 12 years old. Go earn $10 and send it in, you know?
Yeah.
That whole thing. But, you know, for somebody who's pinch hitting on the radio show, I'll toss you an item of the month.
Woo! More pinching than hitting.
Like, as in loaf pinching?
I was going with more, like, not hardcore sex, but, you know, frisky.
Oh,
frisky. But, you know, Dookie is good, too.
Where do you want to go with this? Anal sex joke or poop joke? I'm sure we can roll them both together.
Yes. Santorum will be our happy medium.
Yoy. A Deadhead says the fish scimitar clearly has gray in it, and not just black and white. I'm going to have to look at that item and see. That looks to be an artifact of changing the image resolution. Because he draws them, and then he scales them, and then he converts them into black and white. Even though they're black pen on white paper, it's not exactly black and white. Sometimes you get a gray pixel or two, but it's okay. Jake drew it. It's all right. I'm surprised that somebody who was pissed about that wasn't pissed when we started drawing, like, animals that have full outlines instead of just stick figures. Zona says, what the fuck is Snarfblat? It's from the Little Fucking Mermaid, alright? Snarfblat is the word that we replaced adventure with because it was being abbreviated ADV in the URL. It was like, for the last adventure link, it was like ADV some or other. And for some reason, ad blocking software saw that as an ad link. And so it would just get rid of the last adventure link if you had any kind of ad blocking software running. So he changed the ADV variable to Snarfblat, and nothing blocks that. And now you know the rest of the story. Like, okay, I was just about to go, are you there?
That's oh, there. I was just me, like, Margaret. I actually know that reason, too. I was just like, that's probably your story. Which, you know, I think, just tells you to listen to far too many radio shows. Mm-hmm. If I've, like, heard enough of them to remember the reasons for shit like that.
Murmur says, are you sick of having to constantly write new content for the Mad Hat Rack yet? A little bit. A little bit. Because every time we put in new content, there's invariably a couple of hats. And so that's one of the last things that sits in the to-do list to be done, is to write Hat Rack content.
Delaying our delicious content for days.
Yeah, and it's not as bad with, like, the Comic Chameleon, because that's just familiars, and we don't get as many familiars.
Mm.
I guess the Disembodied Hand is the same amount of work, but somebody else does that. So I don't care. Patron Saint of Depravity says, why is the word is changed by the sword behind inappropriate prepositions? It's a verb in all cases I am aware of. Well, it depends on what your definition of the word is.
How au courant, as someone once said to me.
Yep. It's not even on this list of prepositions. Yeah, I have no idea why.
So that's just an actual fuck-up?
Could be.
I mean, there's nothing that says the person that wrote you the sentence had perfect grammar in the first place.
And that could very well be a fuck-up. If the sword does change is, it probably shouldn't. Yeah.
Do you prefer the, like, English cock-up or the more American fuck-up?
I prefer fuck-up.
I kind of think I do, too. I think it's funny to say cock-up. I've been rereading Preacher for the last few days, too, so I'm getting into weird slang again.
Hmm. I just read the sixth volume of Transmetropolitan, and that will mess you up for talking to people.
I've never read Transmet.
I have the first six volumes.
How many are there?
10.
Huh. That might be a good one to start on. I've been gradually chipping away at The Walking Dead and Why the Last Man.
Hmm.
I'm up to like volume 9 of The Walking Dead and like volume 6 now of Why the Last Man. I don't know. Front's in like the first or second volume of Walking Dead.
Huh. Oh yeah, I remember seeing that. He posted the page or something online.
Yeah, apparently, I can't really do his name now that writes it as a fan of his, and so he made him as just a random zombie that crawls out of a ditch somewhere to try to kill the protagonist. So.
Fineldar says, I know a guy who got Fargo from Netflix and then didn't watch it for like 5 months. Then he got The Great Lebowski back, watched it that night, and forgot to send it in. It's because Fargo sucks.
Yeah, I don't remember being terrible. At all impressed with Fargo. Everyone's always going apeshit, the wood chipper scene. And I'm like, these are all people who've never seen a horror movie.
Yeah. I watched the cool, weird Coen Brothers movies first. So, like, Barton Fink and Hudsucker Proxy and Big Lebowski.
Barton Fink was cool. Hudsucker was alright.
And then Fargo was just this kind of cops and robbers, kind of by the numbers. You know, I suppose that the cop was pregnant and that was interesting and whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, she goes, all this over a little money. Audience, what do you think of the moral of the story? No, thank you.
Hmm.
Hey, that's one that Zach keeps telling me that I should like.
Fargo?
Yeah. It's like, what do you mean Fargo sucked? Like, I mean Fargo sucked. Let's see. Telesar says, love songs are not able to be zapped into each other. Oversight or feature? I think we might have intended to enforce rarity on some of those, so feature. There are people who just sit around with their wands and try to zap everything in the game.
Yeah, I know. I think we discussed before how I'm entirely not a spade. I'm like, I wonder how I can possibly get this item. I go to the fucking wiki and look at the possible ways to get that item.
Let's see, people have already given up on sending in questions, so I'm kind of going up the question list.
Doubling back.
Yeah, see what we might have missed. Let me see what's in my Netflix queue. That'll be riveting radio.
Ooh.
Riveting?
Yep.
And I'm dropping to the one at a time because anything we watch pretty much now is the streaming stuff. And anything that's not streaming, I'm torrent. I mean, go to a store and pay for.
Yeah, we've got the two at a time, so I can constantly have, like, we have it alternated out, so it's, like, one of my horror movies and then whatever else.
Yeah. Your cue. We just finished watching Wonderfalls. That was awesome.
I don't even know what that is.
It's, there's this dude who's got the gift of getting TV shows picked up by a network, but the curse of having them only last a maximum of 2 seasons. So, like,
it's not that bad of a curse.
Yeah, it's decent, but, like, he's the guy who did Dead Like Me on Showtime, which is a fantastic series, ran for 2 seasons. Wonderfalls ran for 4 episodes,
mm-hmm.
but there are 13 episodes total in the DVD set, and it's freaking great.
Yeah.
Like, a girl who works at a gift store in Niagara Falls, and the inanimate objects start talking to her and telling her to do random things, and every episode is kind of a Rube Goldberg machine, cool. where they give her this cryptic message and she tries to follow it, and all these little tiny bits of plot click into place. Hilarious and fun.
What was the? Have you seen what's it called, The Thomas Crown Affair?
No, I haven't seen that.
You might dig that. Pierce Brosnan kind of considered like a what would have been an actual good Bond movie. It's just the character wasn't called Bond. But it's another one of those where there's just a million things going on that he has kind of masterminded that are all kind of come together at the end. It's pretty cool.
I wonder if they gave that script to the people who make the Bond movies and they're like, no.
We cannot masturbate this.
This is quality. We cannot have quality.
Yeah, my Netflix queue is very obviously filled more often by me than Greta. Let's see, Cujo, Twilight, could that be Greta? Videodrome, The Wrestler, Watchmen, Tales of the Black Freighter, National Treasure, Pet Sematary, The Shining, Rosemary's Baby, The Fly, Scanners, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Slither, Motocross, Zombies from Hell.
Tell her that if she watches fucking Twilight, I will kick her in the snatch.
She is determined to see it, and I was just like, all right, we can see it for free, so...
The protagonist of Twilight is named Bella Swan.
Yeah, but if I say it, I have more ground to stand on while telling... If I see it, I have more ground to stand on while telling people why it's terrible.
I don't know. I read, three paragraphs of the actual book, and that was enough to tell people, like, this is sounds like it was written by a 12-year-old. Like,
I'm expecting shit, so...
I think it was...
I just, yeah.
It reads like it was originally written as, like, Angel slash fiction, maybe? Maybe Buffy slash fic by a 12-year-old girl, and they just changed the names. It's like, there's this beautiful young girl named Stephanie Meyer. I mean, Bella Swan, because she's beautiful, and she's also beautiful, and all the guys want her, but she's saving herself for marriage. And all the vampires want to suck her blood, but they respect her too much, and so they're going to wait until they're married. And like, I cannot understand why, like, people, like, smart people that I know who are not 16-year-old girls are reading this absolute bullshit, and I don't understand it.
I don't know. I made her watch Suspiria the other night, and she hated that, so I figure I can't really bitch about watching Twilight. So.
What a trade-off, really.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd never seen Suspiria before, and I was pretty much right in the same boat with her. I'm like, goddamn, that soundtrack is amazing, and I really love the primary color scheme that just, like, is completely unrealistic, but fits the movie perfectly. Mm-hmm. But goddamn, if that's a movie where nothing fucking happened.
Yeah, like, wouldn't it be great if there was a movie?
Yeah, you know. Based around? So I was like, okay. There were interesting bits to that, and she's like, no, fuck that. I'm like, okay. And then we had to watch... Zombie Holocaust the next night, which didn't go much better. So, yeah, I was like, you can bump one of yours up to the top of the queue. So we've got Cemetery Man and Catch and Release coming tomorrow.
Cemetery Man is wonderful.
That's what I've heard. That's Fulci, right?
Yeah, I don't know who directed it.
Hang on, I still got my queue pulled up. Let's see. No. Weird. Early Rupert Everett.
It is, it does have that foreign film vibe to it, I guess.
But see, I'm down with that. Like, you know, the Italians did some great shit, man. You know, hell, fucking two-thirds, three-fourths of the good horror is coming out of Asia these days.
Yeah.
You know, fuck if I want to go watch Prom Night get remade.
So somebody linked me to this comic that was focus group for the Joss Whedon-less Buffy movie reboot. I think Buffy should move to a new town and meet a dark and mysterious guy, and then she finds out he's a vampire and they fall in love, but their love is forbidden and stuff, just like in Twilight. That's what happens in season one of Buffy. And she needs a guy friend who's totally in love with her, but she's all blinded by her love for the mega hottie vampire guy, and there should be a love triangle with a werewolf. Oh, and there's this stuck-up hoe bag that's all mean to Buffy, but secretly jealous of her, just like in Twilight. Like Xander, Oz, and Cordelia in Buffy? OMG, Buffy should get attacked by evil vampires and almost die in junk, so then the hot vamp stud realizes their love is too dangerous and they break up. Like they can't stand to be apart because they're totally soulmates, just like in Twilight. Nay.
Yeah, I guess one of these days I'm going to have to break down and watch Buffy, too.
You might. You can start with,
Can I stream that shit?
I don't think so, but you can borrow that shit.
Yeah, that's what I'll probably have to do then. I was just didn't know if I can just watch it on my lappy. No, I can't, so in that case I'm borrowing it, because I don't want to add, 18 gabillion
Have you seen Firefly?
No.
That's good entry level. There's 13 episodes of that entire series. So that's a good entry level Joss Whedon thing. And then if you don't like it, then we can't talk. Ever.
Well, Buffy's the one that I feel like I would get the most mileage out of as far as getting you to shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
Compared to Firefly. So I feel like I might as well just dive into that one, which would cause me the most...
I don't pressure people to watch Buffy. I understand it's a huge time commitment.
No, but just the fact that, a huge chunk of, your pop culture reference and, whatnot comes from that, it seems like. Mm. That's probably your most frequently referenced series.
That's probably true.
So I figured, like, that would be the one that would do me the most mileage as far as, like, trying to get more onto your, like, figuring out where your perspective's coming from. Because you don't talk about Firefly ever.
No. But
so
I should.
Well,
Firefly's awesome. The, I guess I have to keep watching more Smallville. But
yeah,
the last season was so very tedious. Just like,
it was.
Oh, Lana and Clark are almost getting together, and then they don't.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
I'm very ready for something large and heavy to fall on Lana.
And they killed her at the end of the previous season.
I was so happy.
Like, thank God. But then
yeah.
they, like, now, then Chloe and the dude from X-Men had their forbidden love that they were, refused
to
actually
talk
to each other.
They always do, like, one thing in the season that I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. But the last couple seasons, that's been more than outweighed with, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, move on. But I think they're also running out of ways to keep telling stories without having to put on the fucking cape.
Yeah, which I figure they should just do already, you know?
Well, that will be the final episode, but it's like, I think you're about ready to hit that final episode. Because what they're going to do is, as long as they don't get canceled, they're probably going to go two seasons too long, and then by the time he puts on the tights, no one cares.
I would argue that they already have.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, well, they didn't finish the last season, right, because of the strike?
Oh.
Or, no, they finished it later on or something. Because there was, like, a gap or something, and then they brought out a few more episodes or some shit. I don't know.
You
fucking, but it's like, okay, and then just, like, go fuck it. These guys are getting way too old. Let's just throw down, wrap shit up in this season. It'll be a fucking awesome season because everything will have to come together in, like, 12 episodes.
Right.
And be fucking done with it. In the last episode, you know, he flies off cradling Lois in his arms or whatnot, and you're done.
Right, or he flies off cradling Lana and then, like, drops her by mistake.
And then, like, melts her corpse with his laser vision.
So nobody will ever know.
And then, like, super poops on her or something.
Eight seasons, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Buffy ran for seven, and the seventh season, they were almost out of gas.
I'm pretty sure they were probably out of gas in the fifth season. You're just like it too much.
No, they changed networks in the fifth season, and for me, that reinvigorated the series, and they did some change with the cast.
The station ID in the lower right corner really refreshed it.
Did it. It was great when Buffy was on WB and Angel was on UPN, and they would talk about how she's got to go meet Angel and talk to him in a neutral location, and it's like, what, PBS? And it was a great joke, and we all laughed. Oh, how we laughed, Papa.
Right. Wait, did you say Babar?
Papa.
Oh, okay.
I think that's like Pip from South Park. Like, or no, the kid from the movie, the, like, little jerky British kid, and you're running and laughing. Oh, how we laugh, Papa.
Yeah.
And I haven't said that ever in my life, and I've said it twice tonight, and that's kind of weird.
Papa?
The, oh, how we laugh, Papa. Now I've said it like eight times.
Yeah. My kids call their grandfathers Papa, which is weird. Which is especially odd, because I never called mine grandfathers. Yeah, I called them Grandpa. But, yeah, they're like, oh, Papa Rick or Papa Tim. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, alright.
My mom has insisted that she is Nana. She doesn't want to be Grandma.
Yeah, that has always
Grandma.
Annoyed the fuck out of me.
Shouldn't want to be Grandma.
Grandma Sarah, Grandma Shelley, and then for some reason my dad is Grandma Rick.
Uh-huh.
And then it's Papa on the other side. So, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, my grandmother was... my paternal grandmother was Mima. And maternal grandmother was Nana. Meemaw was just something some one of the first cousins said instead of grandma.
When they were
stuck.
First talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always had little patience with, like, the super cutesy grandparent nicknames.
Nice. Quietus says, given this item limits content, I decided to go and play Crocrox the Barbarian. Only to discover that it's broken, all of the images are missing, and a bunch of random lines have disappeared from the JavaScript code, breaking it completely. Using some of my spare time, I fixed it, and it now works in Firefox. I've got it set up at, and he drops a link.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to play around with this and make sure that it's not malware or anything, and if it's not, we ought to link that on the front page, because that's awesome.
Totally. Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah, I played through Crack Rocks like 4 years ago.
Back when it still worked?
Yeah. Which was odd, because, like, the Viking helmet and, like, one or two other things crossed over exactly.
Yeah, because it's the spiritual predecessor, which is now, with this item of the month, been folded into continuity.
I also played the Search for Schlitz, which made not a goddamn bit of sense.
I think my favorite of those is still the Dancing Indian, where you can just pick parts of its body to move. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. You look in the archives on Asymmetric, just stuff that proves that Jick has always been funny, and I've always tried to be as funny as he is. It's like, oh, you're doing this weird kind of humor thing. I can do that. Let me write some stuff. He's like, okay, you write some stuff. Great. I did get the first iteration of the move us item, let the man go through, and then a picture of a mango joke. Mm-hmm. And followed it up with the letting the din go through and the Winnebae go through. Those were the days. 2002. I think there's still a countdown to the year 2000 somewhere on the site, which is now... I don't know what it's counting down to now, but it ought to scare you.
Mm-hmm. It's probably just decided, like, oh, crap, yet another apocalypse didn't occur. What's the next one? Ooh, Mayan calendar. Let's do that one.
2012. I don't know. Sarah Palin runs for president in 2012. Coincidence? Or lungfish?
Yes.
King Stupid says, really, though, is the sneaky beat stuff Scully wrote done, coded, just forgotten? It was written. I don't know if it was coded. I think the items were all spindled, too. It's just the make holiday happen switch didn't get flipped. So,
to be fair, it's a really big switch.
So what we've done now is we've had... No, I guess the items didn't get spindled. So what we've done now is have C.D. Moyer code up a thing that whenever there's a holiday coming up, go, there is a holiday happening. So whenever we log in, it says, 3 days until this holiday, you dumb fuck.
Which, now that that's been going on for a couple months, you've learned to ignore as well.
No, that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay. Soon, then. And for the rest of your life.
Oh, yes. Let's see, we need a really strong question to go out on.
Is there, like, a beef jerky question?
A question about an ox or a bear.
And your ox.
I'm just picturing Paul Bunyan in Lord of the Rings now.
Legolas, bring him down! And my ox! maybe I am geeky enough to go to conventions.
It's possible. Looking at stuff. Yep, this is great. Silence.
That's some good radio.
Ribbiting radio. I keep looking at questions that let's just refresh one more time. Aha! Chen says, what about Dr. Harble? Have you seen Dr. Harble sing along the blog?
I've not.
No, you should.
I know, I'm fucking useless in this.
Then you should. Just go to IMDb, look up Joss Whedon, and anything that's not a movie that he's written, you should check out.
No, see, now that Greta's not working overnight, so I have far less time to just dick off on the internet.
Right.
So at this point, I managed to play KOL about once a week, and World of Warcraft maybe once a week. Because it's like I don't just have 9 hours after she goes to work of, like, sitting on the couch wishing I had her here. So because my life's gotten less pathetic, I have less time to devote to video games.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad state of affairs. Anyway, Silver Kitty says, Firefly is a perfect example of why people should stop trying to sell sci-fi shows to Fox. Well, Dollhouse got another season, so that's all right.
Why is that a perfect example?
Because Fox aired, like, 4 episodes of Firefly and aired them out of sequence and then canceled it.
Same kind of thing that happened to Clerks, the cartoon.
Yep.
Except it was 2 episodes out of order, and since the first episode they aired first was entirely written depending on seeing the first episode.
Right.
Because it had multiple flashbacks to a show no one had seen. Yeah. Awesome.
There's that whole thing when Family Guy comes back and Peter does the whole this monologue of all the shows that Fox has canceled in the interim. It's true, like that series Wonderfalls that we were just watching, they aired 4 episodes of it out of sequence on Fox and then canceled it.
I can't begin to understand the process of like deciding at a network. Like, do they just have like a super low panic threshold compared to other networks, or are they just greenlighting weirder shit and just knowing they have to pull the plug sooner?
Like, I'll bet that if we give this time to find an audience, because this is this weird cult thing, that people will really dig it. So what we need to do is buy it and not give it any time to find an audience.
Does Fox still just use, like, Cops as filler?
Yeah, because that's the thing. They cancel shit like that. They throw in, like, Cops, Temptation Island, 2 cops enter, and fuck each other. Yeah. Oh, she also points out that we're talking, like, 2 seasons ago on Smallville, is what I'm talking about, how the series felt like it was running out of gas.
I don't know. I've got it up through whatever the last season that was released on DVD. I never try to watch shows on, like, actually when they're being broadcast.
No, that's...
I can't remember what that night shit's on. So I'm always at least a year behind, but... And then with the writer's strike, I think that threw it back even farther. So there may be, like, a short season out. Like, the same thing happened with Nip/Tuck, like, season 5. They released season 5 with, like... And they even call it, like, the first half of season 5 because, like, the writer's strike interrupted it. And it's $50 just like all the other full seasons.
Yeah, they did that with Sex
and
the City.
Thank you, sir.
Not that I own Sex and the City, but they did that, too, and I was pissed because I was like, now I have to buy... Wait, I don't own that.
Yeah...
All right, we're going to get out of here on that note. I'll see you tomorrow for my music show, and maybe we'll have Mr. Bloodfart back another day. Good night, everybody.